Tonight's shiur is on the second parak of Megillas Eicha, parak Beis, and the shiur tonight is titled "A Mother Devouring Her Offspring." Now, the second parak of Eicha depicts the anger of Hashem and the nature of the destruction and the punishment that befalls a Klal Yisrael. And one of the unique punishments that's mentioned is at the end of Eicha parak Beis, which is the concept of a parent or a mother eating her children. And that seems to be a strange type of punishment. So I want to understand tonight in the shiur why this punishment was given, I guess, or why this punishment is appropriate for Klal Yisrael from the Psukim in Eicha. So if we look at the end of Eicha, it's Eicha Perek Beis Pasuk Chaf, and I'm going to read from Pasuk Chaf to the end of the Perek. So I'll start inside. It's source number one on the sheets. It says, "Re'eh Hashem v'habita l'mi olalta ko, im tochlena noshim per yom olalei tipuchim, im yahareg b'mikdosh adoshem kohen v'novi. See Hashem, and behold, to whom else have you done this? Will women devour their own offspring, children that are petted? Will priest and prophet be slain in the sanctuary of Hashem?" Okay, so the Pasuk, just in layman's terms, the Pasuk is saying, have you ever done this to any other nation where a mother has to eat her own children, children that were pampered? And then the end of the Pasuk says, will priest and prophet be slain in the sanctuary of the Lord? Which we're going to explain, we're going to understand. But the nature of this Onesh as part of the Churban was that women had to eat their own children, and Eicha is mentioning it and saying, have you ever done this to anybody else? And there seems to be a response in the Pasuk, and we're going to understand that. So let's go on. Let's just read on till the end of the parak, and then we'll come back. It says, Shachvu la'aretz chutzos na'ar v'zaken, b'sulosai uvachurai naflu v'charev, harakta b'yom apecha tavachta lo chamalta. In the streets on the bare ground lie both young and old. My maidens and my young men have fallen by the sword. You have slain them in the day of your anger. You have slaughtered them without mercy. Okay, so this is continuing on with the theme of the actual punishments in the Churban and the destructive nature of them. Tikrach yom moed migurai misaviv lo haya biyom af Hashem palit visarid asher tipachti v'ribisi oivi chilom. You have summoned my neighbors on every side as though it were a feast day, and on the day of Hashem's anger, there was none that escaped or survived. Those whom I dandled and reared, my enemy exterminated. Okay. But really, the shiur is going to focus on Pasuk Chof. Re'eh Hashem v'habita l'mi olalta ko, im tochlena nashim per yom olei tipuchim, im yahar b'mikdash Hashem koed menavi. I want to understand, as mentioned in the beginning of the shiur, why this punishment was given to Klal Yisrael, where a mother was forced into a situation where she had to eat her own children out of starvation. Why was that the case? Okay, so let's look at number two. It's Rashi on the very pasuk. It's Rashi Eicha Perek Beis Pasuk Chaf Olulei Tipuchim. So what does it mean Olulei Tipuchim? Yiladim Rakim Sheodon Gedelim B'Tipuchei Imosam. So one idea or one possibility is that it's referring to a soft child, a young soft child, who is still growing and is being pampered by the mother. Okay, so that's one possibility. V'rabosinu darshu, and this is what we're going to explain. V'rabosinu darshu al doeg ben Yosef. Shehaisa imo modidaso bitfachim b'chol yom lasei zahav levesa mikdash lefish ma shehaya gidel v'levesof achalta. Okay, so the first pshat in Rashi is that when it says olulei tipuchim, it's referring to young, soft children who are pampered. But then there's a story attached to it, and the story is about a boy named Doeg ben Yosef, and his mother would measure him every year or every day and see how much he grew. And she would measure him with her fist to see how much he grew, and she as a result of the measurements, she would give to the Beis HaMikdash the appropriate amount. So if he grew one tefach, she would give an appropriate amount of gold to the Mikdash. And what happened in this situation? In the end, she ends up eating him, and she ends up devouring him. Okay? So it's a strange story. Actually, the story is brought down in the Gemara about Doeg ben Yosef, and The reason why the story is brought in is in terms of the name, Doeg ben Yosef. The Gemara says that you're not supposed to name your child after a Rasha. And Doeg HaDomi was a Rasha. And the story is depicting the fact that this shouldn't have been done. And there's some idea here that because he was named after a Rasha, look what happened to him. That's what the Gemara says. But that's kind of a side point. But anyways, the main question on this Rashi is, there are many questions. But one question is, why is it important to mention the fact that these are young, soft children? Why does it matter? It should just say, why does it matter? The fact that a woman eats her child is horrific enough. Why does it matter that the child is soft and young and is being pampered by the mother? Why is that mentioned in the Pasuk, according to Rashi? So that's one question. And another question is the story at the end of, at the end of Rashi. The story is that this mother, it seems like she didn't do anything wrong. It seems as though she was giving a lot of gold to the Mikdash because of the fact that her child was growing and developing. And yet, at the end, she ends up eating him by the Chorban. So what's the connection between the two? And why was this woman punished for what she didn't do anything wrong? So why even mention the fact that she would give gold to the Mikdash? Why is that important or relevant? Okay? All right. Anybody else have any questions? Okay. All right. So the main question, once again, is why this punishment's appropriate. And then within Rashi, explaining the Pasuk, why is it important that the children were soft and they were still growing? And the story about Doeg ben Yosef, that his mother would give gold to the Mikdash, to the Beis HaMikdash, and nevertheless, she ends up eating him by the Chorban. What's the nature of the story? Why is it relevant? Okay, it's pretty horrific as it is. So if we look in
his mother didn't really have to happen. She could have just starved.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, good. So we're gonna come back to that. All right. Good. Good point. So the mother didn't have to. She could have starved, but she chooses not to. Okay. So we'll explain that. But let's go back to just the Gemara. The Gemara that brings down the story, there's a Maharsha. And the Maharsha, I just wanted to bring it back to the Torah. The Maharsha says, Ve'aleha konen Yirmiyahu, which is a reference to this whole story that Doeg ben Yosef was eaten. And he says, B'tochachos b'Torah mefurash klalazu. This is open in the Torah, this curse. Ve'achalta privet necha b'sar. Okay, it says openly in the Tochacha that you'll come to eat your children. Aval Yirmiyahu aleha biyoser hayam mekonein, but Yirmiyahu is being mekonein even more so in this situation. Shekokach zav hikdisha b'shvil bina, because she gave so much gold to the mikdash because of her son. Va'acharkach basa lidekach she'achalto, but in the end she ends up eating him. Okay, so the Maharsha is saying that he's bringing it back to the Torah, and he's saying that the Torah mentions this. This isn't a unique phenomenon. And Echar, in the Chorban, the Torah even foreshadows this and says that one of the clothes is that you're going to be forced into eating your children. But Yirmiyahu, he's mekonein extra, more so than the Torah, because of the situation that she gave gold to the Mikdash, and it was worse that she ended up eating her son. So we'll explain that, okay? And he says, V'ruach HaKodesh Meshiva Shechalalo HaMikdash Shehargu Sham Kohen Menavi. And we're also going to explain this later in this year, but the end of the Pasuk explains the reason why. And the reason why is because in the Mikdash, they ended up killing a Kohen Benavi. And somehow, because they killed the Kohen Benavi, it was appropriate that this punishment fall upon the Klal Yisrael and that women eat their children. So why and we'll explain this a little bit further. But let's, as I said before, I just want to look at the Torah and what the Torah says about this onesh, because this is really the worst onesh, and it's mentioned in two places. One place is in Parshas Bechukosai. If you look at number 4, it's Vayikra Perek Chavav, Pasuk Chavtes. It says Va'achaltem Besar Beneichem Uvsar Benoseichem Tochelu. That one of the onshim is that you're going to end up eating the flesh of your children, of your boys and your girls, and that's the onesh, that's the klal. And if you look in the Ibn Ezra, it says, Va'achaltem besar b'neichem uvesar b'noseichem, ein l'mala min harav hazeh. This is the worst type of hunger and starvation. V'lo yelachem makom lizok u'lispalel lahosha meharav, and you won't even have a place to daven in order to save you from this starvation. Ki ashmid bamosechem makom azvachem, because I'm going to destroy all the places in which you sacrifice animals. Okay? So the Torah is foreshadowing the Chorban, and it's saying that this really, what does it mean, v'achaltem b'sar b'neichem? Why will you eat your children? Because they were in such an extreme form of starvation that they had to make a choice for survival, and the only way they could survive was through eating their children. Okay? And also, another thing that's mentioned is the fact that in this onesh is the inability of Klal Yisrael to bring sacrifices, and that's part of the onesh. So it's part of forcing them into the situation where they're going to have to eat their children because they don't see any way out. There's no way to be zoveach korbanos, and their only opportunity to survive is through eating their children. And actually, this is mentioned earlier. Before we go on, this is mentioned earlier in Eicha. This idea that Hashem destroys the mizbeach and he takes away Klal Yisrael's opportunity to bring korbanos, and it's mentioned in Eicha Beis. I didn't bring it down on the source sheet, but it's mentioned in Eicha Beis pasuk zayin zanach ad Hashem mizbecho nier mikdasho his gear biyad oyev chomos arbanosea kol nasnu beves Hashem kiyom moed. And the English on that is that Hashem has rejected his altar and he has abolished his sanctuary. He has delivered into the hand of the enemy the walls of our palaces. They raised a clamor in the house of Hashem as on a day of a festival. So earlier in Eicha Beis, it mentions the concept that the Mizbeach was destroyed and God rejected it, meaning that no matter what, Klal Yisrael, they weren't getting out of this situation. So the only opportunity for them to survive was through eating their children. But still, we still have the same question. Why did the Torah mention or need that? Why was it necessary that this be a punishment in the klalos? It seems very extreme. So how does this klala make sense? Because whenever there's a punishment, it's always justice, but it's always to teach Klal Yisrael what they did wrong and to help them learn from the situation. So what is the purpose of putting them in this situation? And how does it reflect their flaw? Okay? Okay, before we get to any type of answer, this is also mentioned. This idea of eating your children is not just mentioned in Bichukosai, but it's mentioned in another place, and that's in Parshas Kisavo. And Parshas Kisavo is another place where the Tochacha is mentioned, and all the klalos that will fall upon Klal Yisrael are mentioned as well. And once again, this seems to be the worst punishment. So let me get the psukim out. Just give me 1 second. Okay, so the psukim are Devarim Perek Chav Ches Pasuk Nun Gimel. And it says, Va'achalta pri vitnecha, bisar banecha uvnosecha, asher nasan lecha Hashem alkecha, b'matzor uv'matzok, asher yatzik lecha oivecha. And during the siege and the desperation which your enemies will bring upon you, you will eat the fruit of your womb, the flesh of your sons and daughters, whom the Lord your God gave you. Okay, so this is the beginning of the same klal that we're learning about, the idea of eating your children. Ha'ish harach becha v'he'anog me'od, te'ra eino be'achiv uve'eshas cheko, uve'yeser banav asher yosir. The most tender and delicate man among you will begrudge his own brother and his wife of his embrace and the rest of his children, whom he will leave over. Mites la'achad meham mi'besar banav asher yochel mi'bli hishir lo kol b'matzor v'matzok asher yatzik lecha oyevcha b'chol sharecha, of giving any of them the flesh of his children that he is eating, because not a thing will remain for him in the siege, and then in the desperation which your enemies will bring upon you in all your cities. Okay, so basically they're going to be fighting over this flesh. The most tender and delicate women among you, who would not venture to set her foot upon the ground because of delicateness and tenderness, will begrudge the husband of her embrace and her own son and daughter. Okay. And it says, Uvashil Yatza, Yotesh mi ben ragla, Uvana asher teled, ki so chlein bechoser kol basasar, v'matzor v'matzok asher yatzik lecha yivcha bisharecha. And the infants who emerge from between her legs and her own children whom she will bear, for she will eat them in secret and destitution, in the siege and the desperation which your enemies will inflict upon you in your cities. Okay, so the klalos of Dvarim, Parshas Kisavo, are also in great detail mentioning the idea of eating your children, that's like the worst klala. And furthermore, it keeps talking about the idea that ha'ish harach becha, that there's an idea of tenderness, that even the most tender person will partake of doing this. So we saw earlier in Eicha Beis that Rashi mentions, Olei Tipuchim, in Pasuk Chaf, which is a reference to very young, soft children who are being raised and pampered by their mothers. And the question we had over there was, why is that relevant? Why is that so important? But once again, in the Pesukim, in the Torah, we see the same theme, that it keeps saying, Harakah b'cha v'anuga, that even like the softest among you and the most tender and delicate will end up eating your children out of starvation. So why is that relevant in terms of the onesh? Because it seems to be emphasized. So let's look at number 7 in Rashi. We're going to get to one answer in the end. But look at number 7 in Rashi. So Rashi is on Pasuk Nun Dalet, and he says, Harach b'cha v'he anog. Hu harach hu anog. This is the delicate, this is the tender, lashon pinok. It means being pampered. It's like the same type of personality. U'mehis anog u'meiroch, the fact that they're put together, u'mochiach aleihem sheshneim echad. So it's a certain type of personality, a very soft person, a person who's naturally soft, who's very delicate. Afal pi shehu mefunak vedato katza bedavar maos. Even though he's disgusted by the smallest thing, that same person yimtak lo lerav ono besar banav uvnosav. The flesh of his children will be sweet to that guy. So even the most tender person, the most delicate, the person who's grossed out by a bug. So even that guy, his children's flesh will be sweet to him. Ad ki tera eno bivanav hanosarim mites lachad meham mibesar banav achehem asher yochel. He's even gonna fight with his own other children and take away their meat, meaning their brother's flesh from them. So it's like a fight. There's gonna be a competition between, you know, the father and the children for this flesh. So even the most harach b'cha v'anog. So once again, we have to understand why that's relevant. And then there's another possibility. Davar acher, harach b'cha, harachmoni v'rach halevav. It's a reference to the merciful one, and a person with a soft heart, merov avnusam, because of the starvation, yis'achzeru v'lo yinu mibisar b'neam, hashchutim levneam hanosarim. They won't give their own children's flesh to the other children. Okay, it's a similar pshat, a little bit different. Harach is talking about rachmoni, merciful, and not a person who's disgusted, but it tends to be a more compassionate person, a more merciful person. Okay, so same similar questions. Okay, so let me just review and summarize the questions that we have, and then we'll try to get an answer to all these questions. So the question is, why is this punishment significant? The idea of a mother or a father eating their children, and Eicha is mentioning it outright. And then we have this story about Doeg ben Yosef, whose mother used to measure him and give the appropriate amount of gold to the Mikdash, and in the end she ends up eating him. So it seems kind of strange that story is brought in, because she was really doing the right thing, so why is she punished? And furthermore, in Rashi, there seems to be an emphasis on the idea of softness and tenderness in children. So why is that necessary? Why is that an important aspect to the punishment, to the eating of the children? Okay? All right, so let's get to the answer, just the pshat answer, and then we'll try to explain it and hopefully give some possibilities. So we look in the pasuk, the end of the pasuk chaf. It says, "Im yahareg b'mikdash Hashem kohen v'navi." Okay, what does that mean? Look in Rashi, number 8, and this is the answer to all of our questions. "Im yahareg b'mikdash Hashem kohen v'navi ruach hakodesh mishivasam." So the Ruach HaKodesh, the Divine Spirit, meaning Hashem, is answering Eicha, the Kina of Yirmiyahu. The Kina is saying, has this ever been done to anybody else, that a mother eats her children? And Hashem's responding, V'chi na'e lachem shaharaktem ez Zecharya ben Yehoyada, kimo shekasu b'divr hayamim. Was it appropriate and good for you that you killed Zecharya, the son of Yehoyada, as it's stated in Divr hayamim? Shochicham kishabo l'hishtachavos l'yo'oz. Le-Yoash. So he gave them tochacha, he rebuked them when they came to bow down to Yoash. Va'asa'uhu avodazara, avodaseilidim. They made Yoash into avodazara. V'ruach lavsha as Zechariah ben Yehoyada. This Holy Spirit, this Nevuah, came over Zechariah. V'haya kohen v'navi v'haragu ba'azara. He was a kohen and he was a navi, and they killed him in the azara. Okay, so Rashi is giving us a response. The response is that, yes, it's terrible that women had to, and horrific, that women had to eat their own children and men, but you guys deserved it, because you shouldn't have killed Zechariah in the Mikdash. Okay, and what is the story of Zechariah? Let's look in on the Rashi quotes Divrei Yomim, so let's look in Divrei Yomim, and I'll give you a little background on the story of Zechariah. Okay, so Zechariah was really the son of Yehoyada HaKohen, and Yehoyada HaKohen was he was the Kohen Gadol, and the king at the time was Yoash. And Yoash, at a very young age, was a survivor of the destruction of the house of David. He was the only one left over. And Yehoyada saved him by hiding him, Yoash, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, or the room above the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And Yehoyada HaKohen, who was Zechariah's father, was a mentor to Yoash. And Yoash stayed on the right path as long as Yehoyada was alive. But once Yehoyada HaKohen died, then Yoash became corrupted. And Zechariah was the son of Yehoyada HaKohen. So he was also a Kohen, but not only was he a Kohen, but he was a Navi. So the story in Divrei Yomim, it tells us what happened. Look at number 9. It says, V'ruach Elokim lovsha as Zechariah ben Yehoyada. So this nevuah, or the spirit of God, it came over Zechariah ben Yehoyada HaKohen. V'yamod me'al la'am, he stood above the nation. V'yomar lahem ko amar Elokim. This is what Hashem says. Lama atem ovrim es mitzvos Hashem v'lo satzlichu, ki azavtem es Hashem v'yazov eschem. So why are you avoiding and being over the mitzvos Hashem by bowing down to Yoash and, I guess, doing a vodazara and also not keeping mitzvos? You're not going to succeed because Hashem will abandon you, because you abandon Hashem and Hashem will abandon you or abandoned you. Okay, what happens? What do they do to him? Vayikshiru alav, vayirgemu oven b'mitzvas hamelech b'chatzar beis Hashem. So they conspired against him, and they stoned him based on the decree of the king in the chatzar beis Hashem. V'lo zachar Yoash hamelech hachesed asher asa Yehoyada aviv imo. So Yoash, he didn't remember, he forgot about the good that Yehoyada had done for him. He had mentored him for many years. He'd saved his life. And now he's killing his own Yehoyada's son, his mentor's son. Vayaroges beno uchumoso asher yere Hashem b'yidrash. And when he died, Hashem saw it, and he ended up taking vengeance on the death of Zechariah. And he ends up repaying them for killing Zechariah. Okay, so the story of Zechariah is that Zechariah was the son of Yehoyada, who had mentored Yoash, and once Yoash had been corrupted by the fact that the people made him into a Avodah Zarah, the Zechariah had this nevuah, and he comes to them in the Mikdash, and he tells them, you gotta stop doing a Avodah Zarah, you gotta keep mitzvos, and if not, you will be destroyed. But they don't like what they hear, and neither does Yoash, so what do? They kill him, and they stone him. So it was a terrible thing. But still, the idea of this, or this story, is used by Eicha to respond to the concept of women eating their children. So why is it like a midah kenegan midah? Why is it appropriate that because Klal Yisrael killed Zechariah in the Mikdash, why was it appropriate that now a mother eat her children? Okay? So let's just go on. He said in number 10, just to explain the story. Rashi on Divrei Hayamim. He says, Me'al ha'am, so gavoa mikol ha'am. So Zechariah, he was standing above the whole nation. Kedei l'hashmiya kolo. He wanted everybody to hear what he had to say. Uve'echa rabasi, in the Medrash, doresh samach al atzmo. He relied on himself. Shehaya sar gavoa, he was an important officer, mikola am. Navi v'choein, he was a navi. He was a prophet, he was a kohen. Uve'yom ha-kippurim, and when he did this, it was Yom Kippur. V'chasan ha-melech, and he was the king's son-in-law. V'lonis yare milomar nevuah. And he wasn't afraid to say this nevuah. Va'al zeh ne'amar im yarog b'mikdash Hashem kohen v'navi. And it's quoting Eicha. It's the response of Hashem. Uvemoso, and in his death, Amar yere Hashem v'yidrosh, that Hashem will see and he'll repay. Ki lo harguni ela she'amarti shlichuso shel makom. I was only killed because I said the word of God. Ume'achar she'nerakti alav menadin v'hagun uchadaihu she'yidrosh dami. Once I'm killed, it's appropriate for my blood to be avenged. V'chein haya, and this is what happened, kimiyad nidrash damo kilet kufas hashana. Because that's when the next year Zechariah's blood was avenged. Okay? All right, so still the question. So now we have a little background on the story of Zechariah, and Zechariah was killed by the people on the word of Yoash. But the question is, what's the relationship between the destruction of Zechariah, the killing of Zechariah, and women eating their children? Why are those comparable? Why is it that Hashem saying, or Eicha saying in the Kina through the Ruach HaKodesh, that you shouldn't complain so much about the fact that women had to eat children because you deserved it? And why did you deserve it? Because of the killing of Zechariah. Why? Well, what's the relationship between the two? Okay? All right. Anybody have a possibility? So now I'm going to stop here. Anybody have a possibility? For this? Okay, for the relationship? Okay, so let's just do this medrash. It's going to help us understand. There's a medrash on Zechariah's death, and I think it gives insight into what the flaw was over there and how it's like a midah, it's a midah keneged midah that this onesh applied. So in Eicha Rabbah, it's Parsha Beis, it says, Rav Yudan shal Rabbi Acha. So Rav Yudan, he asked Rabbi Acha, Heichan hargu es Zechariah. Where was he killed? Be'ezras Yisrael or Be'ezras Nashim? Was Zechariah killed in the Ezras Yisrael or in the Ezras Nashim? And if you ever look at a diagram of the Mikdash, the Ezras Yisrael was outside of the Heichal and the Ezras Nashim was further out. So the question, it seems like a strange question. Who cares where he was killed? But that's the question. The question is, was he killed in the Ezras Yisrael or in the Ezras Nashim? But the assumption is that he was killed in one of those two. So Amar Leh, he said back, Lo be'ezras Yisrael, v'lo be'ezras Nashim. He wasn't killed in either the Ezras Yisrael or the Ezras Nashim, which is where the Klal Yisrael, the Yisraelim, could be. Ela be'ezras Kohanim. He was killed in the Ezras Kohanim. What the Ezras Kohanim was in front of a little bit in front of the Heichal, and it was only for Kohanim, and that's where they killed him. And then the Medrash says, that's an interesting Medrash. Why is it important where he was killed? Who cares if he was killed in the Ezras Yisrael, or the Ezras Nashim, or the Ezras Kohanim? And the other thing, it says, V'lo nagu bedamo, lo kedam tzvi, v'lo kedam ayal. They didn't even treat his blood like the blood of an animal. Taman ksiv, by the blood of an animal, it says, V'ish ish mi beis Yisrael, asher yatsud seid chaya, v'chiso be'afar, that when you shecht an animal, you have to cover the blood with the dirt. Bram hacha, but over here by Zechariah ksiv ki dama besocha yal tzchiach sela shamasu lo shafachasu al haaretz l'chaso solav afar, that the dam was remained on a smooth rock and it was placed there and it wasn't spilled and covered. V'chol kach lama, and then in Yechezkel it says why lahalo schema linkom nikam nasati es dama tzchiach sela levilti kasos. It was part of part of the vengeance related to the fact that they didn't cover the blood of Zechariah. So it also seems interesting, why didn't they cover the blood of Zechariah, and why is that relevant over here by Zechariah? Okay, so I want to try a possibility to answer all of our questions based on the Midrash and based on Rashi and get greater insight into this Onesh. So you see, what's the idea of a mother? How would you define the horrific nature of a mother, eating her child? What is that? So why is it so horrific? Because there's a natural, instinctual desire to protect the child from a parent, especially a mother. It's the most so from a mother standpoint. I think that's why the pasuk mentions it in the framework of a mother. So a mother naturally has an instinct to protect the child. And the idea was in the punishment, in the onesh, that they were put in such a state of starvation that they had to overcome, I wouldn't say overcome, but they had to choose between one instinct and another instinct. And the instinct of survival and self-preservation and the appetitive, also eating, was chosen over the instinct of protection, the maternal instinct. And that's really how I would define the punishment of eating your children. It's a punishment which reflects choosing one instinct over another, choosing the instinct of self-preservation and the need for food over the instinct of the maternal instinct. But how does that relate to Zechariah, to the idea of Zechariah? So it's in many aspects of Zechariah. One idea is that you see that Yoash really, it says in the pasuk in Chaf Beis, V'lo Zachar Yoash Hamelech Hachesed Asher Asa Yehoyada Aviv Imo Vayarog Es Beno. So there would seem to be a natural instinctual desire to protect Zechariah from Yoash, it would seem, or it was there, it existed, because of the fact that Yehoyada HaKohen had protected him, but he ignored that instinct to protect Zechariah. And so too with the Am. See, the thing is, with the Am, Zechariah was a Kohen, and he was a Navi, and he's in the Mikdash, and it's Yom Kippur, so the whole situation lended itself to emotions, and I guess I would say an instinct of protection of Zechariah, because he was above them. He was on a very high level. You know, he was beloved. He was the king's son-in-law. It's in the Mikdash. It's on Yom Kippur. So you have all these emotions on the part of Klal Yisrael to basically protect Zechariah and to not kill him and to go against the king. Just like a mother has an instinct to protect their child, so too Klal Yisrael, it was natural. They had an instinct in the Mikdash to protect Zechariah because of his stature, because of who he was, especially with Yoash. Yoash owed him almost. Yoash should have treated him like a child, like his own child, because of Yehoyada's, you know, Yehoyada taking care of him. So there was that natural instinct there, and there was. But the thing is that they overcame it, and they went with a more primal or more basic drive of Avodah Zarah, and they chose that over giving in to the instinct of protection. And where do you see this also? And they weren't in denial over this, because you see by the Medrash. In the Medrash it says, where was Zechariah killed? In the Ezras Yisrael or the Ezras Nashim? So the assumption is that they killed him there, but no, it says that they killed him in the Ezras Kohanim. So why is that relevant? Who cares? So what it shows you is that they didn't take him out of his stature as a Kohen, meaning they recognized that Zechariah was a Kohen and he was a Navi, and they didn't deny that. If they would have taken him into the Ezras Yisrael or the Ezras Nashim, it would have been a move on their part to lessen him, to make him into one of them. But the fact that they were willing to kill him in the Ezras Kohanim demonstrates the fact that it was clear in their minds who he was. And because of that, they should have had, or they did have, an instinct to protect. But they overcame that instinct to protect, and instead they killed him because of their drive and their desire to do Avodah Zarah for many reasons. Because of, I guess, Avodah Zarah satisfies many basic primal desires that people have. Same thing with the idea of covering the blood. So it's natural to cover the blood, even the blood of an animal. You don't want to, I would say even, I mean, this isn't the reason for the mitzvah of Kisui Adam, but the idea of covering the blood would be to hide the fact, or to hide the fact of what you've done, and to try to deny it. But they weren't in denial. They made a choice to forego the instinct of protection of Zechariah, and they went with the more basic drives of Avodah Zarah, and in doing so, they killed Zechariah in the Mikdash. So I think that explains why the Onesh was appropriate. So just as Klal Yisrael, even though they had this great person who they related to as beloved, and they should have had an instinct, or was there, they had an instinct to protect Zechariah. And Yoash should have protected Zechariah, but nevertheless, they were willing to kill him in order to give in to their drives and their desires for Avodah Zarah. And Yoash, his desire for egomania, because he was made into a god. So they were willing to forego that natural instinct in order to pacify and satisfy other drives. So too, the mother is therefore forced into a situation where she has to choose between a maternal instinct, and she's forced into the situation where now she has to give in to more basic drives, a drive of self-preservation. So the idea of the Onesh is to reflect what the real flaw was in Klal Yisrael by Zechariah. It wasn't just that they chose to kill Zechariah, but they had to overcome powerful emotions and instincts the other way to protect him. And even so, they were able to overcome it in their desire to satisfy their need for Avodah Zarah. So too by the mother. The mother has a natural instinct to protect the child. I think that's why it's the idea of the softness is mentioned, and either the softness on the part of the mother or the child. See, a child who's soft, a mother... the idea of a soft child is that the mother is really responsible for making sure that the child survives and protecting the child. So it's really reflecting the fact that the mother has to forego the maternal instinct in order to eat the child. But she has to do that, and she's forced into that choice because the other drive is so strong. The primal drive for survival and to eat is so strong. And so too, even the idea of the mother and the father being a Rahman, merciful, or being soft themselves, they had to go against their nature, their natural personalities. They had to go against it in order to survive, in order to go on and exist. Okay? So that's really the idea of, I think that explains in detail the idea of the punishment, the Onesh, of a mother and a father eating their children. It's to reflect the idea or the flaw that existed in the killing of Zechariah. And that's what Eicha is really mentioning. Through Rashi. Okay? Anybody have any questions or any thoughts or ideas?
It sounds like they what they did when they killed Nicole, and they were trying to justify themselves. So they, you know, so sometimes like when a person wants to justify what he's doing wrong, he'll like, you know, turn it around and make it like a good almost. You know?
I think it's the opposite. I think that had they taken him into the Ezras Yisrael, the Ezras Nashim, it would be a psychological move on their part to lessen his stature in their eyes. And only once they saw him as one of them, then they could kill him. But the fact that they didn't do that, they left him in the Ezras Kohanim and they killed him in the Ezras Kohanim means that despite the fact that they were clearly aware of his stature and they were in the Mikdash, and the Mikdash is really the Makom of Avodah, the Makom of Kohanim, despite that, they were still able to overcome their a natural drive to protect him and to preserve him and kill him despite that. So they didn't even make any psychological moves to try to lessen his stature. They did the opposite. They completely abandoned, or I guess they were able to overcome the maternal instinct within them to protect Zechariah and kill him for stronger desires, for stronger drives.
It's like they didn't even care about any, it's like they just threw the whole value system away, and they didn't even...
Exactly. And but the crazy thing about it was that they had a natural. There were natural emotions in that situation to protect him. It was Yom Kippur. It was in the Mikdash. You have this great person who's standing above you, and he's not only a Navi and a Kohen. The Medrash, there's another Medrash that says he was a Dayan. He was a judge. He's a Navi, a Kohen, a Dayan. He's the son-in-law of the king. He's this great person. He's standing in the Mikdash on Yom Kippur. And there's so many emotions there that you should listen to him and that you should give in to him and you should protect him and you shouldn't allow Yoash to kill him. All those existed in that situation, and the fact that they were able to kill him despite that is really the flaw, is really the uniqueness of the flaw of killing Zechariah. And that's reflected in the forcing of, or the placement of women in the situation and men in the situation where they have to abandon their own natural drives and their own natural emotions in order to, you know, to survive, for more basic drives, more basic instincts. Okay?
I had another question, you know.
Yeah, go ahead.
On the topic, but I didn't know that there was is like a part of the courtyard where people, where everyone could go, and then there was a part that only the Kohanim could go?
Yeah, there was different Azaros. There was the Ezras Nashim and the Ezras Yisrael, where Klal Yisrael were allowed to go, and then there was this Ezra's Kohanim, the Rambam, actually. I brought in the Rambam just to mention it, but it's in number 12. The Rambam says, he's talking about all the different sizes of the, and the different measurements of the Mikdash, and he says, Orech Hazara min Amizrach Lamarav Kuf Pei Zayin V'zeu Cheshbonan. So he goes through the measurements. Mikosol Ma'aravi Shel Hazara Ad Kosol Heichal Achasas Re'ama. It's 11 Amos. V'orech HaHeichal Kulo Me'a Ama. And the length was 100. Beina Ulam Balam Mizbeach Shtayim V'Esrim. So between the Ulam and the Mizbeach was 22. HaMizbeach Shtayim U'Shloshim. The Mizbeach was 32. Makom Drisas Ragle HaKohanim. V'hu HaNikra Ezras Kohanim Achasas Re'ama. So the place where the Kohanim would walk through was called the Ezras Kohanim. It was 11. Makom Drisas Ragle Yisrael. V'hu HaNikra Ezras Yisrael Achasas Re'ama. And then there was a place for Raglei Yisrael, for the people of Klal Yisrael to pass through. So there was a place which was just reserved for the Kohanim. It was almost like their, you know, their place to hang out and that they could walk through. But Klal Yisrael, they were limited. They couldn't go beyond the point of the Ezras Yisrael. The Kohanim could go past that point, but the regular Klal Yisrael couldn't go past that point. But nevertheless, they went into there and they killed Zechariah in the Ezras Kohanim, almost in the protected area. And they didn't care. So that's part of the nature of the flaw. Okay, all right, so that's really the shiur tonight on Eicha Perek Beis. So let me just review the main concepts of the shiur. So Eicha Perek Beis is all about the nature of the onshim, the punishments, and the destructive nature of the punishments that occurred in the Chorban. But one of the most horrific ones is the idea of a woman eating her child. And there's a story brought down by Rashi about, and I think we should answer that question also by Doeg ben Yosef, Shahaisa imo modedaso bitfachim, that a mother who would measure her child, her son, Doeg ben Yosef, and give the appropriate gold to the mikdash, so even vilvasof achalaso, she ends up eating him. See, the idea is just reflecting, it's not that she did anything wrong, but she attached her maternal instinct, her love for her child, and her desire to protect her child, and her pride in her child, she attached it to the Mikdash. And you see that that's really the flaw that occurred by Zechariah. They had an instinct of protection and love for the Mikdash, and they overcame it in the end to eat or to kill Zechariah, and in her framework to eat her child. So I think the point of the story is just trying to tie in her maternal instinct and her desire to protect her child and being proud of the fact that he grew so much with the Mikdash. It's showing you that in the end, you know, that was abandoned by the fact that they gave in to their drives for Avodah Zarah, and in her situation, the fact that she was forced into eating her child. Okay, but the main point, so that was just a digression, but the main point of the main idea of this year is that there's a tie-in between eating your children, which is a klala mentioned in the Torah, and Eicha mentions it as well, and the idea that Klal Yisrael deserved it because they killed Zechariah in the Mikdash. And we try to explain the connection between the two. What's the connection? The connection is that the real flaw, or the real horrific nature, sorry, not the flaw, but the real horrific nature of the onesh of a mother eating her child is that she has to give up on the maternal instinct, and she has to overcome the maternal instinct, the natural instinct to protect her child, in order to satisfy a more basic drive of to preserve oneself, to survive. And how is that reflected in the killing of Zechariah? Because of the nature of the situation of Zechariah, that his stature and his relationship to the king, the people as well as Yoash should have had or did have an instinct of a maternal instinct there. They had an instinct and natural emotions in line with protecting him, but their drives were so strong that they overcame those instincts and those emotions to protect Zechariah and to listen to what he was saying. And despite that, they were able to kill him in the Mikdash itself, in the Ezra's Kohanim. And they didn't deny his stature, they were just able to overcome it and through the strength of their desires to do Avodah Zarah. And as such, that's why it's appropriate that they should be punished in the same way, that they should be placed, Klal Yisrael should be placed in a situation where they're forced to abandon their maternal instinct and satisfy more basic needs and more basic drives. Okay? All right, so that's the shiur tonight, and we'll move on from in Eicha next week. Hopefully we'll do Eicha Parak Gimel next week. Okay, so everybody have a good Shabbos. Have a good night.